Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part three of Pastor Michael's teaching in Matthew 23 called The Red Flags of False Religion.
So we might meet somebody and they say, I was baptized when I was 10 years old. That's awesome. That's wonderful. But are you walking with the Lord? Do you know the Lord? The ritual can have great meaning, great depth, if it comes out of the heart. In multiple places in the Bible, God says, circumcise your ears, circumcise your mouth, circumcise your heart. It's not just about the ritual. It's about what's happening inside here, and is it flowing out where you live, where you love, where you lead, where you witness? That's what Jesus was most concerned about. They will know that you belong to me because you love one another. And the apostles, up to the Last Supper, were arguing about which of them would be the greatest servant. Oh, no, no, no. They were arguing about which of them would be considered greatest in the kingdom. And a couple of them even got their mama to ask him, Mama, go talk to him. Mama, ask if we can have the best seats, one on the right and one on the left. And at the Last Supper, they were still arguing about which of them was the greatest. So it's one thing, of course, to look at the scribes and Pharisees and go, hypocrites. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's another thing to say, wow, could I be susceptible to that attitude? Do I love the acknowledgement of people? Look, we're all human, right? We don't mind being patted on the back every now and then. There's nothing wrong with that. But if that turns a corner to that's all you do it for now, that's all it's based upon, it's a red flag. And of course, that would come out here in that they don't practice what they preach. You can see in verse 3, and you may have a question about this, all that they tell you, observe. There's two views on this. One is that the Pharisees did accurately preach the law of Moses when in a teaching spot. There are others who believe this is ironic. And Jesus is kind of saying, listen to them if you must. We do know that Jesus had clashes with these leaders about Sabbath keeping, about marriage and remarriage and divorce and other topics where they had added so much tradition that the question becomes, was their teaching solid at all? And we might say it this way, if they're teaching biblical truth, certainly obey that. But if you followed them around town, you might be shocked to see how they actually live. It's all about, you know, the praise of man instead of the word of God. Here's a few scriptures in Hebrews just to mark down. Hebrews 13, 7 and 8 says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their what? Conduct, imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, 17 and 18 in the same chapter says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, says the writer of Hebrews, for we are sure we have a good conscience, desiring to what? Conduct ourselves honorably in all things. Can you see that even though these leaders were teachers, they were saying, we want our conduct to match what we've taught to you. Imitate us as we imitate Christ, they might say, as Paul did in 1 Corinthians 11. Here's red flag number 4. They tie up heavy loads, 23:4, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. Here's a helpful insight from a writer. The picture Jesus gives here reflects the common custom of that day and of people in many underdeveloped countries today of loading up a donkey, camel, or other beast of burden to the point where it can hardly move. As they traveled down the road, the owner would walk alongside carrying nothing himself, except probably a stick. He would be berating and beating the animal if it happened to stumble or balk, with no concern for the animal's feelings or welfare. It would load all this stuff. It would load 1,001-pound laws on its shoulders, if you will, using the burden imagery. And the moment someone started to crumble under the weight of it, they would berate it and beat it. Get up! Get moving! What are you doing? And they wouldn't carry anything. They wouldn't do anything to remove the burden. What does Jesus say? Contrast. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and in me you will find rest for your souls. You see, man's religion will continue to stack burden after burden after burden. And in many of these movements, they will ask you to perform the religious duty in the power of your own flesh. Good luck. Plastic smiles without the power of God, they just won't last. Amen? You can try to put on the show, but that's not who you want to be. We want to be authentic. And, Peter put it this way. He said, cast all your care to him, all your anxiety to him, because he cares for you. They pile up heavy loads of religious rules and regulations on man's shoulders. And when the people failed to keep all of the requirements, says one writer, as they were doomed to do, they were chided and rebuked by the leaders, who thereby added the burden of guilt to the weariness and frustration of these folks. So on top of all the religious burdens they gave them, then they would pile guilt on top of that. And many of you can relate to this, right? Where the guilt was the only thing that drove you. And a lot of people deal with false guilt. And of course, there's a true kind of guilt. And if it causes you to turn around and make things right, that's one thing. But a false guilt, where they just keep piling it on, and no one ever feels like they can measure up to this, is that's man's religion. There's some evidence in church history where some of the church fathers knew the weakness of their flesh, and they were so wanting to put down the flesh that they would dive into thorn bushes and cut themselves up because they were having a temptation in the flesh. Oh, I'm feeling tempted. I'll dive into this thorn bush right now. That should fix it. I don't think that's going to fix it, but I think you're going to be pulling thorns out of your body for a while and probably trying to figure out how to medicate what you just did to yourself. They thought, well, maybe if I beat my body enough or do this or do that, that's just man. The best way to walk with the Lord is just get as close as you can to him. Give him every one of your burdens, every one of your concerns, every one of your fears, and walk with him. Psalm 55, 21 and 22 says of the false so-called brother, his speech, my so-called companion's speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was at war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Psalm 68, 19 and 20 says, blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation, Selah. God is to us a God of deliverances, and to God the Lord belongs escapes from death. And Jesus bid the people to come. He knew what the scribes and Pharisees had done to them. Psalm 37, 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. And just one more for you. Galatians 5, 1 says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm, and don't be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Don't put yourself under man's burdens. You know, live for the Lord, walk with the Lord, but don't get caught up in that stuff. Those people are everywhere waiting to dupe people. Red flag number 5 is in verse 5. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. and they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. Now, a phylactery was a scripture box, and there were some passages in Exodus 13. If you want to write these down, write down Exodus 13, 9 and 16. These were, and it specifically says phylacteries in Exodus 13, 16. And these were supposed to be reminders that you kept in your head and in your actions. So we talk about on your forehead and your hand. If you go to Israel today, you will see people in Orthodox circles wearing phylacteries. They have a band around their forehead with a box with scripture in it, and they have it wrapped around. They put it on their left hand because it's closer to the heart, and those have scriptures on them. And they made them literal. And in one sense, there's no problem with that. Some of you have scripture all over your house. Some of you wear a bracelet. You wear a cross. If those are good reminders for you, that's great. But what they did is broaden their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. I was going to wear a tie that was really long today, just like, no.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
It's the 13th annual Shine with His Light Harvest Fest event. Join us for an evening of family fun, including trunks of treats, inflatables, game booths, a bake walk, and food vendors at 1009 Arsenal Way, Corona, just off River Road, east of Lincoln Avenue, at Living Truth Christian Fellowship. Fun for the entire family, open to the public. Free admission, October 31st, 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. More information at livingtruthcorona.org.
Thank you for tuning in to Walk in Truth in San Diego over the past year. We are so grateful for your support and that of a faithful donor, which allowed us to bring Pastor Michael's Bible teaching to K-Praise this past year. But now, as we look ahead, we need your help to continue this mission for another year. We're aiming to raise $19,999 to keep Walk in Truth on K-Praise, and your support can make all the difference. Whether it's a personal gift or through your business, every contribution counts. Monthly partnerships are especially impactful. It means that you're standing with us as we share God's word. Would you consider giving a one-time donation of at least $30 or becoming a monthly partner at the same amount? You can donate easily by calling 844-48-TRUTH or visiting walkintruth.com. Together, we can continue bringing the truth of God's word to the airwaves. Thank you for being part of this mission. 844-48-TRUTH to donate. That's 844-48-TRUTH or visit walkintruth.com.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
And they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. Now, a phylactery was a scripture box, and there were some passages in Exodus 13. If you want to write these down, write down Exodus 13, 9 and 16. These were, and it specifically says phylacteries in Exodus 13, 16. And these were supposed to be reminders that you kept in your head and in your actions. So we talk about on your forehead and your hand. If you go to Israel today, you will see people in Orthodox circles wearing phylacteries. They have a band around their forehead with a box with scripture in it, and they have it wrapped around. They put it on their left hand because it's closer to the heart. And those have scriptures on them. And they made them literal. And in one sense, there's no problem with that. Some of you have scripture all over your house. Some of you wear a bracelet. You wear a cross. If those are good reminders for you, that's great. But what they did is broaden their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. I was going to wear a tie that was really long today. Just like, no. And imagine someone now having a box on their forehead where you can't even see their head. It's just this big, like, gift box, you know. And what's your conclusion? Boy, is that person spiritual. Scripture, you know, they can't even lift their head, but, you know, they're spiritual. And they were instructed in other places in the Bible to put tassels on their robe, Jewish males, and it kind of migrated into the prayer shawl. Nothing wrong with the tassels. Even Jesus had tassels. The woman with the flow of blood grabbed onto the edge of his robe, probably a tassel. But they lengthened them. For what reason? To show how truly spiritual they were. And whenever we take those outward things and we want to make them as big and visible as possible, what are we doing? Are we trying to impress God or impress man? So, you know, this could be in the realm of giving or whatever it may be. We want people to be impressed with us. Red flag number five, their focus is not God's glory, but it is to be noticed by men. That's the reason they do it all, is to be noticed by people. Verse 6, red flag 6. And they love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues. They want to be up on the platform where you can look back at them and know how great they are. I had a man tell me a story. He said years ago he was with his wife at a restaurant. They were having dinner. They're kind of in the middle of their meal. And they were told by a waiter that an entourage had come in with a very famous figure, and they were asked if they would relocate to a different part of the restaurant. And the man looked up, and he recognized the man as a very prominent religious figure who's seen on television. And this is probably a good 15 or 20 years ago. And as he told me the story, he said, the waiter said, this man's coming in and he's got a group and they want this place in the restaurant, so can you please move? And the man said, no, I'm not moving. And he said, Pastor Michael, you would have thought that that man would have figured out how he could be best a servant and, you know, figure out how to be seated wherever, not ask people to leave their place because he's a prominent figure. Jesus said, when a dinner party is thrown in Luke 14, don't take the best seat. Take the lowly seat. And if someone invites you to a better seat, great. But don't position yourself just for the acknowledgement, just for the accolades of man. That's not who you should be. They would love the idea of, you know, the special chair or the throne facing the congregation. They would love the idea, says one writer, of buying pews in colonial Boston. They would love the big buildups or the grand introductions at conferences. I recently heard a pastor say at the church conferences that he's a part of over the years, they will print a brochure. And on that brochure, they will have the pastors with the most prominent churches and biggest membership in the front of that brochure with a bigger photo, and the guy that has a church of a couple hundred people, he's in the back with a small photo. Grand introductions for the super pastor who's got thousands of people coming. The little guy over here who's ministering to 200-300 and probably doing everything for that church, he's not really important. And he said these words, oh God, forgive us. Oh God, forgive us for doing that kind of thing. Or we're super impressed with someone just because of the numbers at their church. Verse 7, red flag 7, we'll have to move quick. Respectful greetings in the marketplace, that's what they love. Being called by men rabbi. I have a friend who's a rabbi, by the way, and I call him rabbi. And you might be asking, well, what does this mean? Because being called a rabbi is, you know, just could mean a teacher, but the origin of the word means my great one. And Jesus says, but you, verse 8, do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and he's speaking of himself. He is their main teacher, and you are all what? Your brothers, and I'll add brothers and sisters. There's to be no personality cults in the church. We have one main teacher, one main rabbi. Yes, the Lord, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, gave some to be pastors and some to be teachers. And the pastor title is okay as long as we mean shepherd and servant leader and feeder of the flock. That's okay. But when we start thinking of these titles in an ultimate sense, think of it this way. Because you can see Jesus will say, don't call anybody in verse 9, your father. What do you mean? My sons call me father. Jesus means in an ultimate sense as it relates to spiritual life or singular authority. Your life comes from your Father who's in heaven. Jesus is our life, right? Not some dude who goes by the title Holy Father or Right Reverend so-and-so. Sometimes people over the years have said, well, what a reverend? Or should we call you reverend? I'm like, no, please do not do that. First, I have him kiss my ring and give me an offering, but no, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But do you see? All of a sudden, it's like, is that person the source of your spiritual life? Oh, God, forgive us. That we would say, oh, whatever this person says or whatever they teach or they're the source. No, they're not. Jesus is the head of the church. Nobody else. And when he uses people, that's fine. We can call our dad, father, but not in the sense of spiritual life. We can call other people those who lead us, but only as they lead us to Christ and for Christ's glory. So much could be said, but we're out of time. So let's just look at the last couple of verses. But the greatest among you, and remember now Jesus says it's not to be that way among you, and he's taught this before, but he says the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. We ought to measure greatness the way Jesus does. And he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. So if I'm going to be like him, my call is to serve, not to be served. We all love it when we meet tangible needs and we love one another practically. But ultimately, if we're going to follow Jesus, it's going to be as servants. Pray with me.
You've been listening to The Red Flags of False Religion, Part 3 on Walk in Truth. And that was the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Matthew 23, verses 1 through 12. Hey, I wanted to share a great resource with you. Check out the Walk in Truth podcast with Michael Lanz. He teaches straight through the Bible and applies it to today's issues and culture. It's really insightful and encouraging. You'll find Walk in Truth on your podcast app. If you're already listening to the podcast, please click the share button on your phone to spread the word. Now here's Pastor Michael with a final word.
You might be thinking, well, okay, the reality of these red flags and hypocrisy showing its ugly face in religion, you know, what do you do? Like, what would be some of the keys to avoid these kinds of things? And I think humility is a huge key. Let's talk about if you're a leader right now. You're listening to my voice. You're a leader in a church. You know, maybe you're a pastor, maybe you're an elder, maybe you're a deacon, maybe you're leading a Bible study, you're in men's, women's ministry, children's ministry, youth, etc. Humility will teach us to be reliant upon God and to know that we could be the one to fall on our face, right? And so this is a little bit different from hypocrisy, because true hypocrisy is being a phony. You could say, if you want to avoid hypocrisy, practice humility. And hypocrisy in the sense of that we don't want to be found wanting or make a mistake and have it hurt us and our family and our church family, etc. Walking in humility can be a proactive remedy for many, many things. Take heed to yourselves lest you fall. We've been talking about the red flags of false religion. This is Pastor Michael Lanz. This is Walk in Truth. Hey, if you're new to us and you want to learn more about who we are, you can go to walkintruth.com. That's walkintruth.com. If you want to become a partner, and we could use more partners, we only have about 55 monthly partners. You say, only Pastor Michael, that's pretty good. Well, it is, but we have thousands of listeners week in and week out. And we need more monthly partners. If you could do $20 a month, $40, $50, whatever you could do, it will help us in making decisions about radio stations at the end of the year and moving into 2025. Go to walkintruth.com, click on that donate tab, become a partner today. It really helps us, and it helps us know that we're making a difference in your life as well. It's walkintruth.com, and we'll see you, Lord willing, tomorrow as we close out Red Flags of False Religion.
We need your support to keep the Walk in Truth show going strong. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you can help us cover radio airtime bills, make our podcast available, and even expand our reach to more radio stations.
Your contribution will truly make a difference in supporting our ministry. Join us in spreading truth and wisdom across the airwaves. Visit walkintruth.com and click donate. That's walkintruth.com and click donate. And join us tomorrow as we take a break from the book of Matthew for a special teaching for the holiday called Dark Dangers of the Occult.
So we kept talking, and like 30 minutes passes by, and then we're talking about his dog Bentley and how he had taken her to the park that day. And then in the middle of his sentence, he passes out again. And so I do the same thing, and I put my hands on him and start praying, and this time it got progressively worse. Like, he sat up, eyes rolled backwards, so it was just the whites of his eyes showing, and he was smiling and saying no. And it was not his voice.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lance and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.